Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Y'all ready to be history?
Get started.
Welcome.
Hi.
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 Hello, everyone.
To the Pro Audio Suite.
These guys are professional. They're motivated.
Thanks to Tribooth, the best vocal booth for home or on the road voice recording. And Austrian Audio, making passion heard. Introducing Robert Marshall from Source Elements and Someone Audio Post, Chicago. Darren Robbo Robertson from Voodoo Radio Imaging, Sydney. Tech to the VO Stars, George the Tech Whittam from LA. And me, Andrew Peters, voiceover talent and home studio guy.
Line up, ladies!
Here we go.
And welcome to another Pro Audio Suite. Thanks to Tribooth. Don't forget the code PAP200. Well, hopefully it's going to work in 2023. Yeah. And Austrian Audio, making passion heard. Now, one thing that you don't hear much about, and that is an interface designed specifically for voiceover. Is there one?
Specifically, nope. Not for podcasting, not for live streaming, not for gaming, not for any of the other
ancillary. Not for studio, not for the recording side of voiceover.
Not for broadcast.
For the talent. Professional voiceover talent.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I'd say that the best thing right now is either you go completely minimal and get the least intrusive interface, something that, you know, I don't know.
Are we naming
has a
names?
Decent enough mic preamp, but then you're stuck with their mic preamp. So I don't know, something stupid like a Scarlett. Yeah. Easy, you know, just, or else you go all the way up to an Apollo and you customize the hell out of it.
Yeah.
I'm not too far off on your thought process there. It's kind of either low-ending it or going totally, you know, latest tech, digital, everything.
$1,500 interface, yeah. Practically. Yeah.
So what would an interface specifically designed for voiceover actually look like? What would it do?
Oh, man.
It would have a very good mic preamp on it, but yep. Not insane. But it would have a mic preamp that's not just a... necessarily a one chipper from, like, they're all the same, really. They're buying the same chip and they just.
Well, what about the Neve 88M then? That's the two channel Neve audio interface.
Yes, yes. That one is like things like the Neve 88M and the Apogee Mini Me, those kinds of simple interfaces with very good preamps.
Yeah, but it's missing some other key things, I think.
Well, it's missing loopback and ability to, or not necessarily, you don't really need loopback except for playback. That's the reason why you need loopback.
No, but and you don't have monitor. You know, the 88M, and I'm looking at it right now online, it does not have a monitor mix mode. It has either a mix or no mix, but you can't control the monitor mix, which to me
is really important. Let's talk about the ideal voiceover interface. Is the low latency section software? Or hardware?
Hardware.
Good.
A physical knob that you can turn to blend the monitor mix real time.
Yeah, just an AB knob, crucial. Like a blend, like M-Box blend. Style from...
More me on the left, more them on the right.
Correct.
Yep. That's it.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
So SSL2 has that?
SSL2 has it.
Yep.
Okay, so next thing is any processing on it.
A high-pass filter.
That's it. Does it have a compressor? It.
Nope.
Does it have a gate?
Doesn't need either of them.
Okay. Does it have a limiter?
Nope.
I would say that, I don't know. I think like an Apogee style soft clip might be okay.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I can tell you what has that. The Sentrance Micport Pro 3.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It's got headphone monitor mix. It's got a hardware limiter that's very transparent. It's got a very, very clean preamp.
It has a killer stupid battery.
Okay, that has one major black eye, and that's the battery.
Yep.
It has to be charged.
It has to be plugged.
Or charging or charged at all times to use it.
Yep. It will screw you if not.
Yes, it needs two USB cables to use it. So that's its major black eye. That other than that, it checks to me. It checks all.
Does it have a loopback? The podcast one has a loopback, so you can do playback to your connection, right?
No, it doesn't. The MicPort Pro does not have a loopback, so it's missing that.
So that's the one other thing. If you're going to do it, you're either going to have that in software. But if we're saying, and I think I agree with you that just an easy interface, no software and low latency monitoring, and if you just wanted to do like loopback, it'd be easy to have a knob on the thing instead of a software solution. And there's more flexibility in a software solution, but most VO talent just need hear whoever I'm talking to hear what I hear for a second. And so it should have a loopback, probably.
It should have a loopback. It's something that the clients are becoming more and more expecting more and more of the actor to be able to play back a take. Like, it's just becoming the norm.
Which is really annoying.
Yeah. It's really annoying.
But it should be.
It is annoying. Yeah.
Don't worry about your interface not having it. Just get
it should be stupid easy. It should just be built in and it should just do it. Now, there's not many that do that. At the really low end of price point, the believe it or not, the Steinberg.
The Steinberg is the one. Yeah, that was one of the first ones to come out with a low latency mixer built into it.
And it has a driver for loopback. You have to install
it. How about the Motu M2?
I don't think it does loopback. Not I think the way it does. We need it to do it.
I believe it does.
Does it?
I believe.
I've had too many clients with M2s that have issues.
Oh, really?
Like noise and some flakiness that I've just been, as much as I want to love Motu, and I think their hardware is really well made, I've had issues with the Motus, like several of them, not just one. So I'm a little
bit. So Motu.
Yeah, and that does not have a physical monitor knob mixing knob on it. You have to use their
You have to use their app. Okay, their so that rules that console. One out. Okay.
Yeah. That's the same as the audience.
Okay. I'm going to go really high end, and I'm going to suggest the Crane Bridge 500 series interface with the USB interface built in.
Crane Bridge or the Cranbourne?
Cranbourne.
Cranbourne.
What is that? It's like some cartoon from when we were five.
Cranbourne. Daddy went to court and he went right. Cranbourne. I don't know. Jeez, boy,
that's some cartoon back in the back of my head.
Obscure 50s stuff.
bit like myself.
But so, that one.
So keeping score here, the SSL2 is dang close, but no loopback.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's the closest one. Like, that's the one I never.
I don't think that Cranbourne has loopback either.
I don't think so.
But it does, in the sense that it does have. I bet you could just jam two XLR cables out and back into itself, and it could do it in hardware because it's got eight channels.
You can make the mix minus. Yeah, if you can do the mix
you can make minus. You can probably make your own mix minus on it.
That's the key. But it should just have it in the box, right? It should just come this way.
It should just be a knob that does it, yeah.
So another one that none of us have talked about, but I'm pretty familiar with, is made by Yamaha, of all companies, the AG03.
Is this more like a little mixer, or is it an interface?
Well, it kind of treads the line.
Yeah, it's kind of like one of those interface mixers, like a mixer with a USB port on it.
Yeah, it looks like a tiny little Mackie mixer with a USB port on it. Exactly.
Yep.
But it has this interesting three-position switch on it, which switches between three modes. One is dry or direct 1-2, which means it simply records input 1 and input 2 USB to the computer, just like any other plain Jane basic interface. Position 2, it's actually recording the mix coming out of the device. So anything coming in is mixed and then recorded, which also lets you then loop in some DSP. It actually has built-in DSP. So you can set up a high-pass filter, a compressor, an EQ. Pretty nifty. Then it also has
built-in DSP, but I mean, its control is like some single knob on a preset menu built into the thing, or is it actual?
Nope.
It's a software control.
It has a software on-off dumb mode, and it has a software expert mode where you can program it completely.
So basically, it's got everything except for a snotty mic preamp.
Exactly.
What is it?
On a Fidelity line, it's probably the same as the Steinberg, because Yamaha owns Steinberg, and Yamaha makes the hardware, Steinberg makes the driver, and that's
what is it? Yamaha what?
AG03.
And they released a new edition of it. So after about 6-7 years, they came out with a new one to update it. So the new one's probably got better, hopefully has better specs, but
150 bucks. It's in the right price zone. Does it have digital so you can like slam your own mic preamp? I mean, like you can always get your own mic preamp and then just go with, it's not like it, you know.
It's got a computer.
Well, here's the thing. If you want an audio interface that can take a proper line input and doesn't just pad the mic input, you have to go up market. Like nobody has a proper hardware line level.
A more minimal design, basically.
Well, yeah, you have to go to an Apogee or an Apollo.
I don't think so. I think you can just go with like a Scarlett. What is it? The Solo, that the second port is line input.
No, it's an instrument input.
Is it
an
instrument?
It's a high Z instrument.
Still high SD. Yeah.
So, what about the audience? The RD44? I thought
it's probably a padded down mic pre.
Here's why. I recently cross-graded a client. I won't say upgraded. I'll just say cross-graded. She had an ID22 for years. She's had a couple of them because they've failed on her a couple of times.
Oops.
And so we're getting to this point where she was trying to do too many things and we were running out of mixes and it was getting frustrating for her. She couldn't do loopback, for example. So I tried to figure out a hardware, software workaround using another audio interface connected to it via optical cable, TausLink. And it was driving her crazy because something would always be on the wrong clock rate. She was always having to fiddle with it. It made her nuts. And I said, let's move you over to the Apollo because now you're going to really enjoy the fact that you can digitally set your preamp at the precise gain setting for any session and recall that anytime you want. You can't do that on the ID stuff. The ID stuff all has a hardware.
It's a hardware preamp.
Gain knob. Yep. So some would say that's a pro because it seems more purist to have a physical on analog gain knob, I guess. But man, once you have
the digital gain control has so many advantages. Yeah. Not the least of which that thing's going to last a lot longer. If not, right. That
you
analog
have to worry
pot.
About dirt getting in the pot. Yeah. So once I set it up for her and showed her, made some recalls that have specific gain settings for different types of client work that she does. And she saw that she could just load a preset.
And how long ago was this?
Last week.
So you're still promoting Apollos, man. I thought you were like, you're like,
I am.
You keep on going back to the same bags. You're selling the same stuff to everyone, man.
When you're in a certain echelon of voiceover work and you are using two microphones in your booth and you've got a desk workstation and a booth workstation, and you occasionally coach people who come into your studio and are going to be in your booth, and you sit at your desk and sometimes you mix in your monitor speakers, sometimes you mix in your headphones.
It's the
new. And you have to do loopback and you do source connect and you record yourself.
So here's what it
is. You need sophisticated shit.
It used to be the voiceover guy with a Mackie 1402 or 1202 mixer and an ISDN box. And the new setup of that is the Apollo, you know, where that's your mixer. But even that is a pretty long in the foot setup. I mean, that has been the setup for 10 years easily with that Apollo twin. Yeah.
The Apollo is in no real way changed in 10 years. Mm-hmm. I have the original.
They added talkback to it, which is actually a question I was going to ask. Does a professional voiceover audio interface need a talkback?
No.
Do we assume that you have a booth? And you need to have a talk.
You don't need talk back because a professional voice actor generally isn't coaching or needing a talk back. It was handy back in the day when you would be sitting outside your booth and then you would hear the ISDN go chirp, chirp. And then you'd want to be able to say, be right in. And then, you know.
Yeah, I still find it nice when people have that setup. That's one of those things that you can tell when someone has their setup dialed in. They can actually talk to you fluidly from inside and outside the booth without.
Yes. Yeah, well, that's true. And that's what the ID44 does because I'm actually using the talkback as we speak for this.
Oh, let me ask you this. Yeah, this is a key thing. I'm so glad you mentioned this. This is a tangent. Sorry, guys, but
we love tangents.
It's a real thing. So the Apogee, I'll say Apogee every time you mean Apollo. Sorry. The Apollo Twin X, which is what I set up for my client, has the talkback mic, right? Mm-hmm. Well, she also has a talkback mic on her desk, which is plugged into channel 2 of the Apollo. We wanted to make that mic the talkback mic.
You can do that.
You cannot do that with the Apollo.
Yes, you can. I have switched what the talkback mic input is to a handheld mic from the built-in mic on the Apollo. You can definitely switch
Universal
that.
Audio said no. And this is, again, Drew from Universal Audio, who I've been talking to for years about Apollo stuff, who insists you can't do it.
I've done it.
So if you know how to do it, please,
you just go into the I.O. matrix, and one of the things is labeled TalkBack. It's at the bottom, and you switch it for what input you want it to actually be.
You can only do that at the driver level. You can't do it at the hardware level.
You can do it right in the interface, in the interface settings.
You can't change what hardware jack on the Apollo is feeding the TalkBack circuit.
Yes, you can.
You can't do it.
I swear to God, we've done it.
All right. You got to show me the setup. I don't believe it's possible.
So imagine you're looking at the IO matrix, right?
Yeah.
On the left side.
I have it
side.
Open right now.
Okay. On the left side, scroll all the way down. The TalkBack inputs on the bottom.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you can, just like all the other inputs, you can click on it and pick a different one.
Yeah, but you're changing the channel in the driver. You're not changing the physical analog hardware assignment to that channel.
I'm making it so that when you press the TalkBack button, it uses mic channel 2 instead of the little PZO, whatever the hell it is, built into the interface.
That makes sense to me, but I don't think I was able to get that to work.
I've done that at the studio. Like, I got two TalkBack mics. I got one for the Amec Big, and then the other one is the Apollo.
It makes total sense, and absolutely you should be able to do this. And when I ask the quote-unquote expert at Universal Audio, Drew, who's a great guy, and I talked to him countless times, he says, no, can't be done. Literally, that's the answer. It's in my forum. It says, no, we can't do it.
Interesting. So,
I don't know what to tell you there.
I see.
But going back on the topic again, let's just assume, because there's, like Robert said at the very beginning, there's either the analog, completely analog way of doing everything, or there's
way
the
simple, high quality.
Way.
Right.
Yes. And they're two different animals, right? So if we're focusing, we know we can do it digitally. The Apollo does it. The ID44 essentially does it. But is there a way to do it all in a basically analog way and not have it be, say, like the SSL Big 6 or some really expensive big console? You know, because the SSL gets pretty close. The SSL,
well, okay,
it's called the 6.
The Neve is $1,300. How much is the Big 6?
The SSL 6 is $1,500 smackers.
Wow.
$1,500. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's going to have way more routing than the Neve.
I installed it for a client of mine as a replacement for his Mackie mixer. And we're not even using a third of its capabilities.
We'll see there. But once again, that's what the issue is with what is the interface for a voiceover. We don't need all that stuff.
Right. Right. The SSL stuff, 6 right. to the average voice actor is going to look like a freaking spaceship. It's got a lot of knobs and buttons on it.
Exactly.
One last feature in the hardware-only, simple but high-quality voiceover interface. We've got a simple mix knob with a high-quality preamp and a true line input option.
Right.
A high-pass filter, a peak limiter, like a peak soft limiter. Clipper. Very, very, very just transparent soft clipper.
Yeah.
A loopback.
Yeah, hardware loopback.
Hardware loopback and a recorder. To a USB disk.
Oh, that's totally a bonus. That would be a huge bonus.
And that's it.
And then, as a backup, you mean?
Yeah, it's like an onboard backup recorder.
Just boom.
Yeah.
Which is so handy for an actor who's doing a 2-hour long narration session.
Oh, absolutely.
And then you've had a fail of some kind.
If anybody makes that, I'm suing them.
You know who's the closest to making it? To be honestly, really, it's the closest to making that is Sentrance.
They have the recorder. They have everything except for, and they do have the loopback because they have the 3-4. On the MicPort Pro, you can take your output and with a 1/8-inch cable, plug it back into the 3-4 input, can't you?
Yes, but that isn't a loopback to the client. It's a loopback to the engineer. Like you'll be able to hear a loopback, but they won't hear the loopback because it's not mixed into the.
No, I think it's the mixer.
The mixer face is a 2-channel interface. Period. It's
yes,
not
and it has a 3. It has a here. Let me go get it. It has a 3-4 input, and the second two inputs feed the stereo. It's like a 4 input down to 2.
Yeah, maybe actually the Portcaster is the new one. I have that one too.
Right.
And that one gives you even more flexibility because that lets you literally plug in a different device to use as a phone patch. or like an iPhone or a Mac, anything with a TRRS cable.
Right, right. That's the difference. And the other one, it's just a TRS.
Right.
Yeah.
And this one is a TRRS because it gives you a send and a receive.
Yeah, exactly. Which, and it's super handy. It works
which
really,
might
really
be,
well.
So the question is, you can use the send. I mean, like that's
but,
where you
but
can use
it. It has the same annoying battery
catch.
Charging problem.
Yeah.
So you have to charge it.
They
all
both
the
have,
time.
You know what? I am sure there's a hack out there.
It's not a hack, it's just a double headed cable. It's a cable that has two USB-C.
You have to braid, you have to take two cables and braid them together nicely. So you just think of it as one cable.
Right.
And then on the other end of it, have some sort of ridiculous adapter so that you don't have to eat two ports on your computer. It is annoying.
Somebody makes that. Oh, no, actually, no, it's the reverse. I have for a while there, I had a Mix Pre 3 made by Sound Devices.
Yep.
I gave it to my dad, but it has the opposite. It uses a USB 3.0 port on the unit, that big fat one that's got blue inside it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about? It's blue. I don't know why they make it blue, because it's USB 3. It's that, it looks like a printer port with an extra lump on top. You know what I'm talking about?
It looks like a printer port with an extra lump on the top.
It's a USB-B port, like on a printer, but it has another little additional lump on top.
That's USB 3.
Yeah, so it has a USB 3 port, right?
Yeah.
And then the cable that plugs into that has two USB connectors, A's on the other end. One is for charging and one is for signal. So what we need is the reverse of that, where it's one USB-A port on one end, or C, and then it splits to USB-C for both charging and signal on the source on the interface.
Does Sound Devices have anything that gets better than the Sentrance here? Because the Sentrance basically doesn't have a true line level input.
The Sound Devices is complicated to use in comparison. Yeah. Really complicated. I mean, even in basic, because it's kind of cool. It has basic mode and advanced mode. Mm-hmm. Even in basic mode, it's definitely more complicated to use than the mixer face. Or any of the Sentrance stuff.
Well, the mixer face, the great thing about it is like there is no driver. It's got arguably good enough electronics in it. It is all single chip, but it is well designed.
It's the best you can make it for
that price. Type of construction, basically.
Yeah.
Talking about the playback thing, I thought I actually made the ID44 do playback.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
I thought you did.
But I did. But unfortunately, it sort of started looping itself, literally. Was that correct? Is that what happened?
It's possible. It doesn't have a proper mix minus. It might have a loop back. It doesn't have a mix minus and a loop back.
Or you have to unrecord arm your software so that when you're playing back, you can't have your input live on your software.
So if I go to, I'm probably going to not be able to hear you, but I'm going to try just something just for the hell of it and see if I can make this thing work. So if I go to, I'm going to go to a queue, which should allow me to open that up, which should start everything looping back. Am I looping back at your end?
One check.
One, two, two,
yes.
Two, two.
Yes.
Yes, we're getting the.
You're getting slap both? Back. Okay. So if
we're getting both. I can hear my chair.
can hear a whale.
From Marjan Island to Sabanias Island, we cover everything that affects your life in the Emirates.
We heard that.
We also hear ourselves.
Okay,
long as you disengage that whenever you're done playing back and then engage it for playback and then disengage it again.
This is common with some loopback setups. You usually have to defeat your microphone input or some sort of, like, you might have to defeat whatever input it is.
And by the way, the Yamaha has the same problem.
Yeah. But that actually did work, though, didn't it? You heard
yes,
that
it did work.
Yeah.
The who has the same problem?
The little Yamaha AG03
has the same problem.
When you flick it into loopback, it's not a mix minus loopback.
Yeah.
It's just a loopback. So if you're like on Source Connect or Zoom, they're going to hear themselves talking. So you have to flick the switch, like flick it to loopback, hit play. When you're done playing, flick it back again.
Right. Or you have to turn off your mic, hit play, yeah, then stop right and turn your, yeah, you have to one way or the other block the interface from being an input, yeah, again.
But if I did playback anyway, I would have to come get out the booth and come out here so I could do that.
True.
And there is something good about that, actually, because usually when you do playback, if they're re-recording it, it depends on the purpose, but a lot of the times people will play back, but they still have their mic live. So they're just doubling up on the noise on the playback. And if you're just playing back for someone to decide if it's a good take or not, that's no big deal. Right. And actually good, because then you can talk to them while playback is happening. On the other hand, if you're in a situation where someone says, I didn't get that, can you send that to me again? In that case, they want you to play it back and they want you to kill all other inputs. So they're just getting playback only. So there's like little nuances to this whole loopback.
But you could do that. See, with the ID44, if you made your main channel the talkback, then all you have to do to kill that channel is just to turn off the talkback and it kills it. So if I turn off the talkback, I just disappeared. So all I would do for playback is press that button and play back what I just recorded.
Right. And as long as your other channels are turned down or muted, because I know that thing's got like 4 mic preamps.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're good.
But I'm just allocating what gets sent to you. So at the moment, it's just the talkback mic. But if I pull up the Mac or Source Connect or whatever, Wavelab.
But you have to do all of this from the digital console.
Correct.
On screen with your mouse. Yeah. And where quickly and gracefully.
Yeah. Where if you had that whole on an actual mixer on your desk doing exactly the same thing, be fabulous.
Well, if it had the mix minus, it would be fabulous.
Yep.
If you didn't even have to worry about that, and it was just mix, it was a mix minus, it would be.
I think maybe fabulous. Maybe the only other one is like you go over to the Behringer, like 8-channel USB mixers that are more complex. So they're not hardware based, but they have a recorder built into it. But
is that called the Wing?
I forget, but it's too complex, really, when you think about it.
Yeah, it's so complicated.
So it's like, you know, you're talking about, okay, if the recorder, is the recorder a like must-have? Because if it is, then you're talking about a RME, a sound devices, a Sentrance.
RME? RME can record internally?
RME makes interfaces that have USB inputs.
You mean that have onboard SD recorders?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah. I didn't know they did that.
They do that.
But that's a price point. That's the $1,000.
That's like $1,500 or more. Yeah.
More, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I was looking at the RME, but it was just so expensive. And I thought I'd just give the audience a go. And I'm glad, really, as long as it doesn't go pop, I find the audience so much more simpler to use than the the RME Total Mix.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah. I would say, without a doubt.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
Then there's another company we haven't talked about called, well, we did talk about Personas before, but Personas makes this little mixer called Studio Live.
Yeah.
8, I think it is, or 6. And I installed 2 of these little mixers because they had they checked all the boxes, right? You could do the loopbacks, you could do a monitor mix, you could do a mix for headphones, you could do a recording internally.
It's definitely not as simple as a Sentrance, but it's, yep.
But it was all analog, right? It was not a digital mixer. It checked all the boxes except for one.
Wait. It's not, it's the Personas is a, are you sure it's not a digital mixer?
The basic Studio Live, they have a very simple analog mixer interface. They're not digital. They're not digitally internal. They just have USB.
Really?
Interfaces. Yeah.
I didn't know they, I thought all their stuff was digital. Okay.
Yeah. The Studio Live, it's called the, I don't even want to say the name out loud because then somebody will go buy one. It's called the AR8C. AR8C, okay?
So say that.
The AR8C.
AR8, Eric?
R8C. A-R-8C. Terrible naming. I don't get it. Anyway, I thought, this is it. It checks all the boxes. It does absolutely everything. It even has a Bluetooth feed. It has recording to an SD card. On and on. I was so excited. Except I had two of them installed in studios. Burn up. The power supplies smoked, literally smoked. And you know, that's like, that's a real problem.
A major problem, I would have thought, yes.
When your client, when Tara Strong says, George, there's smoke coming out of my mixer.
George, but here is one that we ran into with I forget his name now, but the Tascam has a recorder built into it.
Oh, the 12.
And we know it has a loopback capability, don't we?
Yeah, the Model 12 is extremely impressive piece of kit, I have to admit.
They're what, like 800 bigger bucks? And, 600
yeah, it's
bucks?
Definitely much bigger and more complicated than I would like it to be. But the Tascam Model 12 is really excellent. Yep. It does everything. It does USB in and out, digital recording internally.
It's got an analog one knob, one function kind of thing.
Like totally.
Like you can see what you got.
Yep, it's got record arm buttons on each channel, so you can tell which ones you're actually recording.
The preamps are probably meh.
And the preamps are reportedly pretty good. It's got low cut switches on inputs at 100 hertz, which is an interesting compromise. It's got a one knob compressor.
It's got a mid sweep EQ, or what's the EQ like?
It's got a mid sweep EQ.
And then what, like two or three sends, I think.
Two aux sends.
Yeah.
And those two aux sends can be pre or...
I gotta say, it is freaking ridiculous what you can get for $800. Like,
no,
can
it's
you, like, you and I it travel is. Back to 1996 and think about all of that, and then you and I would say, like, that probably cost about, like, $6,000 for all of that.
Exactly. And the official name of the product is the Model 12 Mixer /Interface/Recorder/Controller. Because it does all that.
It's a controller, too? Like, it's like a
It's
USB,
a controller, too.
It's a fader controller?
Yes.
No. Those aren't moving faders.
Yeah. No, they're not flying faders. But
no, they're not.
It will control
They're not flying faders,
dog.
But somehow it's still a controller?
Yes.
That's
It does all that stuff in one mixer. Yeah. No, it's a crazy
it
capable thing.
It can't be a very
thing.
Good controller.
And Bluetooth, which you can assign to channels 9, 10,
it's got Bluetooth, too.
And it has, what else? Does it have TRRS? Doesn't have TRRS, but it's got
more
else.
Mic preamps than you need.
Yeah. Now, if they made a Model 6 that had all the same everything, but with half the channels.
Half the preamps, yeah.
That would be compelling. Yep. But it's got 8 mic preamps. Like, just nobody needs that in a home voiceover studio.
They don't. Okay, so here's, I pose this one then. So you go out and you buy yourself a Grace M101, maybe an M102 if you want compression. Mm-hmm. Then you get yourself
a Yellow Tech.
A really clean, super clean interface that has no preamps. It just is a direct into your system,
yep.
And then you have Source Nexus.
Yeah, yes, do it all. You could definitely do that.
Digitally.
I'll one-up you. You just get an interface that does optical in and out, okay? And then you go get yourself an Apogee AD1000, which is this old 20-bit interface, but supposedly it's got a Millennium mic preamp in it with an Apogee converter.
Oh, really?
Because a lesser-known product is the Millennia that supposedly has an Apogee converter in it. They sort of agreed to swap stuff, but not, like, you don't find anywhere
not
that Apogee
label.
Says, it's not on the label, but they just swapped.
It's a backdoor deal.
But I can tell you this, I've recorded a lot of orchestras with that thing, and that 81,000 is on the level of the John Hardy, I think. Mm-hmm. I've got a few of them. And the great thing about them is they just have an optical out, which... Before Apple got rid of it, Apple's just had optical ins.
That's right. The Mac Mini and the iMac had an optical line in, and the Mac Pro.
The problem with that setup is that you start to have trouble, like with what you're suggesting, is that you start to have trouble with your low latency monitoring if it's like a really bare bones interface that just does in and out, line level or digital. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you start trying to find an interface that will do your low latency mix, bam, there's a preamp. Invariably, it's going to throw a preamp at you.
I know. I'm telling you, these products I used to install the Fireface. It was called the Echo Firebox, or I can't remember. Audio Fire? Maybe that's what it was called. But Echo Audio Echo. Fire.
Yeah, yeah, Echo. Like way back in the early 2000s, you're talking about.
Yeah, it was TRS, line in,
it was and a PCI line card.
Out. And, well, they had a PCI card and they had a FireWire one, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's what it did. That's all we needed. Line in, balance.
So,
that's
so
it.
So you can do this type of thing. You can get yourself like any of the snotty interfaces, a Benchmark, an Apogee, an Aurora, and you can get them with FireWire, Thunderbolt,
right.
Possibly USB. They always have the Pro Tools interfaces because they let you buy the interface card for the converters.
Yeah.
But like I said, again, no mixer. No low latency mixer. So now you're like building a whole setup, which
yes, I can build. I don't think
that's built. I don't think that's built for a voiceover person. That's a voiceover person building things for themselves because it doesn't exist.
Yeah, I've done that too. I've done every iteration. I know you have, Robert. I mean, we build these things to solve problems for people and give them what they want, but they're always this Lincoln Logs, you know, connect the dots rig, which 20 years ago was the norm. And nowadays is overly cumbersome, too expensive, and not portable either.
Yeah.
We didn't even mention portable, but that's...
Well, I do think a voiceover, a professional voiceover's interface is portable. I think all a professional voiceover person should need is a pair of headphones, a mic, a well-treated room, and a laptop and an interface.
Mm-hmm.
And... Yeah, it's cause sort of, but I finding disagree. It at the highest quality. You disagree?
I do. I think every professional voice person should have at least four preamps, upmarket as possible, some way. Yeah, at least two booths.
and a tri-booth.
Yeah, and a tri-booth. And a beard. Shouldn't they all have beards? Yes.
And a Vespa.
You must have had a Vespa for sure.
Yeah. And an accent, but you can't tell what it is.
That's right. Generic mid-Atlantic
accent.
Can't really place it.
Absolutely. Exactly. See, and the problem solved. That's it. That's all you need.
We can place him everywhere and nowhere at the same time.
Yeah. He's a real nowhere man.
He speaks with authority from, I don't know.
Yeah. From somewhere. But we're not sure.
This is a query we will never solve, but we all know that the product does still, we still know after this whole thing that the product doesn't exist. But I think the AG03 Mark II is the closest.
I think the Sentrance is closer.
Because it has built-in recording.
Because it has built-in recording. I'm willing to forgive it. As long as you know it and you don't let that battery go down, it will screw you if that happens.
Yeah.
So that is the one thing about it. One simple cable, like a little eighth-inch cable. You got your low late, you got your loop back with one knob, and you got a decent enough preamp input. It's got a high-pass filter. It's got the clip. You know, like the soft clip, it checks most of the boxes. It's driverless. It's fiddly is the problem.
There's the problem.
It's tiny. It's got tiny switches. It needs a weird battery thing. That's its Achilles heel.
Yeah, but I think because we're talking about voiceover people using this thing. So the more complex it is, the more you're going to get in trouble. I mean, you guys both.
But it's not very complex. It has things like for instance, it tries to help you. The switches are recessed. So once you set it, there is no way you are flipping the switches to the wrong place by accident.
Yeah.
Because when you need to switch the switches to the right place, you will curse them because you need a little tiny tool to, you know, you need like a paper clip or something to flick them.
I think that's a good thing.
I think it is a good thing. It's fiddly, but that's
voice
not
actors
horribly
have
fiddly.
One mode of operation they need to be in,
yeah.
Period.
Yeah. Exactly.
Set it and forget it.
I really think if he just allowed for an external power supply into that thing.
Well, he did.
Especially that had a cable lock on it.
Well, you use a USB power supply. That's it. You just use a regular old phone charger and that's your power supply. That's your
I know that. But the problem is if that thing goes down to zero, it's not booting up right away.
Well, I know. That's I mean, but you're problem. Saying if it had a dedicated power supply and I'm saying, well,
yes,
that is
like boot from zero. Like
a USB charger will boot from zero. You plug it in, and it will turn on.
No, it won't.
No?
No, I don't know if you remember.
If it runs down to dead, it has to charge for a while before
if it runs down for dead, you're not... Yeah, it's like... It is a bad situation.
Mm. Ooh, that's
like
not
no
good.
Battery. You can plug it in and then it's going to wait until it has enough of a charge to boot up.
Mm.
And if you were like, oh, I got a quick session. Like I think the same thing would happen with the NTG4. If you need it. Well, no, because the NTG4 can work off Phantom, can't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So not an issue there.
Yeah.
So. I just sent you a link to a possible splitter cable that's worth buying on Amazon and testing to see if it will do the charging and data duties from one USB-C port.
Right. And that and that's nice to have. And just never let it run down to zero.
If
I understand right, with most battery stuff, you don't want to run them down to zero anyways because that hurts the battery typically.
Yeah. Well, lithium batteries have a protection circuit that prevent it from doing that. Undercharging, overcharging, discharging, all that stuff. But
yep.
Yeah, it's God, it's crazy. Every time, even when companies literally put the name VO in the product, they still don't get it right.
Yeah.
Speaking of batteries, I do have a fun little tech story. You guys are gonna laugh at me. My kick around 2012 MacBook that I like because it has a normal keyboard and not a scribble strip that does stupid stuff.
Yep.
It was having this it was been a workhorse, and then all of a sudden for the last 2 weeks it began like randomly, just you're working and it reboots itself. You're like, oof. What the fuck?
Oh,
did it like 10 or 20 times. And then one day I'm working there within my lap and the thing just like pops a screw out, like kind of shoots it out. It doesn't just like, it's like, bing. And the bottom plate kind of dropped down and I'm like, oh gosh, battery's kind of
the battery's exploding.
There. Yeah, and then, but it stopped rebooting itself.
Oh. It's like your MacBook had a big meal and now it's pressure. Relaxed.
It like whatever pressure it had on it, it's like, that fixed it. Okay.
One day. Oh, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
One day you'll just hear, and it will put itself back together again.
Yeah, like one day I'm just going to be typing and I'm going to look at my fingers and they're going to be melted off and like, oh shit, it started leaking.
Yeah.
Like the keypad is gone. It's just a sea of acid.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
we had an iPhone do that one morning, got up, it had been on the charger, and it looked like a terrapin or a turtle sitting on the bench. Yeah, it was just a puff of fish. Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
I turned in my iPhone to T-Mobile, and I remember going like, because they had some deal, like any condition or whatever, except they had little fine print because my iPhone had taken the glass and pushed it off. You could get your fingernail underneath most of it and the battery just like expanded to the but the thing still worked. George, you remember that iPhone. Your girlfriend like couldn't stand it and had to buy it a case.
Oh yeah. Exactly.
like that thing, I ran that thing like well into the ground. Like
excellent.
Batteries.
Yeah, who needs them?
Good luck editing that one.
Well, that was fun. Is it over?
The Pro Audio Suite.
With thanks to Tribooth.
And Austrian Audio. Recorded using Source Connect. Edited by Andrew Peters. And mixed by Voodoo Radio Imaging.
With tech support from George the Tech Whittam.
Don't forget to subscribe to the show and join in the conversation on our Facebook group. To leave a comment, suggest a topic, or just say g'day, drop us a note at our website,
theproaudiosuite.com.